So if you've got a Bible, Luke 24. And it says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.' Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told this to the disciples, to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened." And God always blesses the reading of his word. C.S. Lewis once remarked, "Why is it that one can never think of the past without wanting to go back?" It's true, isn't it? We always think of the past and we think, "Oh, well, I remember those days. I wish I was back there again." And you might think that's a bit of a strange quote to start an Easter sermon off with. What's he going on about? He's supposed to be talking about the resurrection. However, given our reading, it's not such a strange thing at all. One theme that recurs throughout this passage is the theme of remembering. Verse 8, "Then they remembered." I find it interesting that Luke is so caught up in the story that he doesn't tell us who they were until verse 10. You see, the women had experiences with Jesus. They had heard his word and his teaching. They walked around with him. And when they were prompted, it clicked into place. They suddenly remembered what he had said. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. Why didn't they remember before? Well, up until the visit of the angels, everything that had been happening, the whole thing of Jesus sort of last 12 hours, as it were, that whole business of him being betrayed, that whole business of him being sent to Pilate and having a trial that was completely illegal, that whole business of him being flogged and having the flesh ripped off his back by that horrible whip, that whole business of Pilate being too weak to actually stand up to the Jews and actually eventually sending him to the cross, that whole business of Jesus actually dying, the whole lot was meaningless to them. They just didn't get the point. And the thing is, the reason it was meaningless is because they didn't have anything to help interpret these events clearly for them. But interestingly, all it took was for the angels to simply say to them, "Remember how he told you," in verse 6. And then it was almost as though a light went on. Suddenly they understood. They got the point. They understood why Jesus had to be betrayed. They understood why Jesus had to go to a false trial. They understood why Jesus had to be whipped. They understood why Jesus had to die. And then they understood this: why the tomb was now empty. The tomb was empty, and they understood he was alive. It must have rushed upon them like a tidal wave. Joy and elation must have just bubbled up within them uncontrollably. They probably were giddy like little schoolgirls. They couldn't believe it. Friends, is it not like that when we remember him? Or do we go around like it's Holy Saturday all the time, with mopey, grumpy faces. Because actually, we don't understand the whole point of it. We've forgotten. Friends, we need to rediscover the importance of remembering him. And as we do so, we'll have a fresh experience like the women. And we'll want to share that with other people. What do we learn about this remembering and its significance for us? Well, as very simply as always, three quick things, really. And the first thing is to remember the empty tomb. And we have to start with the empty tomb because that's where Luke starts his account. The women get to the tomb, and you imagine it. Your loved one has died, and you go to their grave, and there's nothing in the grave. You know, there's nothing there. It's as though the ground has been dug up, and the coffin's gone, and the body's gone. There's nothing left of them. They get to the tomb, and they find he's not there. And they look perplexed at the emptiness. And you know, for some people, the emptiness is like the emptiness in their lives. And so for the women who were finding all this a bit meaningless, surely the emptiness just reinforced that meaninglessness that they were feeling at the time. How could this be? Where's he gone? But as we remember him, we know, do we not, that he's risen. You see, rising as he did means that humanity is set free from death. All you've got to do is read 1 Corinthians 15. Unlike the women who didn't understand at first, we now know that death no longer is the end. Notice in the story, the empty tomb, it starts off with the empty tomb, but it quickly becomes irrelevant. It becomes a complete irrelevance. It's the central character in the story, and yet it's irrelevant by the time you get to verse 5. Because emptiness is irrelevant, because Jesus Christ is risen. So whatever you might be going through today, Christ is still risen. Death has still been defeated and humanity will rise again. No matter how meaningless you might feel your life is at the moment. Your life isn't meaningless because he's risen. In him we have the security, the significance and the acceptance we long for, and the resurrection proves it. The tomb is empty. He's risen. So we remember the empty tomb. And then we remember his word. The angels say to the women, they said in verse 6, remember how he told you. Remember what Jesus said. Do my head in. They remembered his words in verse 8. It says, and then they remembered. And the Greek here, this idea of remembrance, isn't just that they kind of had a mental recall of it. They didn't just suddenly think, oh yeah, I remember when he said that. That's nice. Yeah. That's not what the sense of the word is here. It actually means that they understood what was going on. It's more akin to understanding or insight. And there's another bit to it as well, but we'll get to that in a minute. They understood, they got an insight. They didn't just remember, but they got what Jesus meant. They got the point. Something altogether different is happening here. They're not just reminiscing about the past, like the C.S. Lewis quote, oh, you know, we want to go back to the past and so we want to relive it. It's not that, they get the point. Have you ever had a moment in your life when you've heard something and it sounds great and you think, I don't get that at all? But you know it's significant. You hear it. Maybe it's a news story and you think, gosh, that's a really big statement the government's made. I haven't got a clue what they're talking about. And then only later when you're talking to somebody else and they explain it to you, you suddenly realize, oh yeah, I get it. That's what's happening here. Or maybe you've read scripture before and you've read a passage and you just think, wow, that's an amazing passage. I ain't got a clue what it means. That's what happened to the women. They'd been in Jesus' company, and what's great about this is that Luke portrays the women, they were just as much disciples as the men were. There's no privilege here in Jesus' ministry. The women had learned just as much as the men had. But until they were reminded, nothing actually quite fit together for them. And as we go through our lives, we must remember his word. It's not just a recalling to mind of what we've read or what's been said or what we've been taught. But it's actually doing something with that teaching. It's actually comprehending it, taking it in, making it part of us, internalizing it. And Hebrews chapter 4 is very, very clear. When the writer to the Hebrews says in verse 12, "Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." If the Bible is able to do that, then it must need some understanding. This is the power of the Word of God. So how do we remember in this sense of truly appropriating it, truly understanding and comprehending it and making a difference in our lives? Here's the first thing. If you're going to remember it, you've got to read it. Simple as that. There's no good. You can't recall something you've never heard. You just can't. Spend time meditating on Scripture. Read it all the time. It should be your go-to book on every subject. And if you say, well, the Bible doesn't have to have a treatise on complex governmental problems like disability benefits being taken away from people, I believe you'll find that the Bible has a lot to say about what we do with people who are poor. I believe you'll find in the Bible that most of the Bible is geared towards the poor. So while it might not say, this is what you should do with a government who takes away money from the poor, it does tell us what our attitude towards the poor should be, for example. So spend time meditating it. And the other thing is, how can we do this? We've got to spend time remembering Jesus specifically. What that entails for us is reading a portion of the Gospels every day. If you need a help with that, get a lectionary, because the lectionary usually has a gospel reading every day, and it certainly has it every week. Read through the gospels, take a systematic view and go right from one through the gospels and just have a rolling pattern. You don't have to read a whole chapter, but read a section. If you want to know what Jesus is like, he's there in the scripture. He's there in the gospels. All you got to do is read it. Get to understand what's going on. That's the third thing. One, it's all very well telling you to read your Bibles and get close to Jesus in the Bible, but the third thing is you've got to understand it. There's no good just reading it and thinking, well, that's really nice, but I don't understand what's going on. You've got to understand it. Get some teaching. We have our Sunday gatherings here, with me preaching. That's fine. You can get to understanding that way. Small groups. By the way, on the notice sheet, I missed off Maureen's small group. It's meeting this week, is it? It is meeting this week, but they meet every other week, and I didn't put it on the sheet. I'll make sure it's on there for next week with the little group, the list of groups. Go to small group, because that's a way of understanding and getting to grips with things, with people, and understanding people's other points of view. If you have access to the internet, there are a wealth of free podcasts and sermons from lots of other different churches. If you want some good recommendations, I can give you some. If you want some to avoid, I can also give you some of those too. Because there are a few I would hasten that you don't listen to. Particularly the ones that preach a health and wealth gospel. Because that's not the gospel at all. That's a justification for their extreme wealth. And there's the traditional way that I use. Commentaries. Books. Books. With the dawn of technology being so portable, and we can have books on these electronic things now, we don't often read paper books, but there's lots of books that you can read which will help you understand not just the Christian life, but the Bible as well. And sometimes we just need an experience with the Lord as we read and as we reflect. And sometimes we just need an experience with God that pushes us to remember what we read before. Sometimes things happen to us in our lives where we just think, wow, what is that all about? And it causes us to stop and think about what has just happened and what God says about it in the Word. And then it clicks. We get the point. We understand. I'll give you a very poignant example. When our son died, when he was stillborn, nearly 8 years ago, I never understood the proverb that said, when hope deferred makes the heart sick. But somebody gave us one of those CPO cards, and that was one of the verses on there, and it said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I never understood what that meant until that day. When I read that, I was suddenly realized, oh, I get it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you're longing for this thing to happen and then all of a sudden it's not there, then you're just like, oh, crushing. And that's what that verse meant. And sometimes these experiences we have in our lives push us to understand what the Bible is actually saying and what it means for us. But like I said at the beginning, if you're going to remember it, if you're going to understand it, you have to read it to begin with. You have to keep... The women were with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus and get to know what he says. And when I say that, when I put an emphasis on the Bible, I'm not de-emphasizing the role of the Spirit either, because the Spirit of God is what helps us to understand all these things and see different things in the Scripture that we never saw before. And the Spirit is the one who leads us through these experiences we have. And then the last thing about remembering. Remember the others. So the remembering that Luke speaks of not only indicates this idea of understanding, but it shows that their understanding was so much so that they actually made a response to that understanding. The experience was such that it made them do something as a result. For them, this experience was not something that they could keep silent. They had to go and tell the others. They had to. Verse 9, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. They remembered the others. Notice as well that they weren't instructed to go to the others. They just go and do it. For example, when you've been out, Maybe you had a wonderful meal or something. You've been out with friends and you just had a really good time. And you just have to tell somebody about it because it was just such a great time. Or for me, if I go to the cinema and watch a really good film, you're probably going to hear about it from me because it was a good experience. I enjoyed the film. I want you to know. I want you to go and have the same thing. I want you to experience it as well. The reality is, friends, that when we do have such an experience of understanding Jesus and his word, we will want to tell other people so that they can have the same experience. And that goes back to my beginning point, when it says that if we're not experiencing it and everything's still meaningless, then we're never going to tell anybody because we don't want anybody else to feel the way we do. Because we won't see the point. It'll all be pointless. It'll all be meaningless. But as our experience of Jesus grows and his understanding of his love for us grows within us as well, we'll want more people to understand and have that same experience. The resurrection is a huge thing. Because, and here's how you know it was true, because nobody was expecting it. None of the disciples expected it. Even though Jesus actually said it would happen. The Jewish authorities and the Romans thought it might happen because they remembered what Jesus said. And they said, oh, go and guard the tomb extra in case his words actually come true. But no guards could hold Jesus. You know, very seldom in our culture do we expect something good to come from something bad. And yet, that is what God does in the resurrection. God is in the business of taking something really rubbish and making something really good out of it. All the time. The women didn't get an instruction to go and tell. They just went and told. Friends, you don't need an instruction to go and tell. You just have to live it. Live the resurrection life. We're not going to get an angelic visitation. We're not going to get a step-by-step plan. Do this, do that, do this, do that, do this. If you want legalism, go and join another religion, because that's what they do. We just go. The point is, basically, that you'll be so consumed with God that you'll just have to tell people. Bill Johnson talks about the point where he was so saturated with the Spirit that he was walking in a shopping mall. He was just shopping with his daughter, I think, or his daughter-in-law, somebody. And this woman next to him just fell out on the floor. She just collapsed on the floor in the Spirit. And Bill, he's just walking by. He doesn't know what's going on. He looks and this woman's on the floor. And he thinks, and he mentions to his daughter-in-law, I leaked. He leaked Jesus. And he had to pray for the woman, obviously, and get her up off the floor because it looked a bit dodgy. But when we're full of Jesus all the time, we'll just leak. It'll come out. It might not come out in quite a spectacular fashion as Bill Johnson and the lady in the shopping mall, but it'll just come out in our conversations. It'll come out in the way we live. It'll make a difference to our lives. We remember the others. So friends, today as we remember the empty tomb, we remember he's risen. And we remember his word, his teaching. And we remember other people, that they too need to know and experience this good news for themselves. And today, if it all seems meaningless for you, like it did to the women at first, we'll have opportunity in a moment to come for prayer. Sit at the front and somebody will come and pray with you. Get an experience of God's love for you. And if you're struggling and you just think, I don't understand what any of this means, pray for understanding. Because James is clear, if any of you lacks wisdom, you ask God for it and he'll give it to you liberally. Without reproach. Pray for a renewed commitment to God and his word. And then, go be the answer to your own prayers. Go and leak. If we were in Wales, I could get a leak, but I wouldn't do that. Go and leak. Leak Jesus in the way you speak, in the way you live your life, so that your life has integrity. So that people look at you and say, there's something different about that person. Why are they that way? And say, because of Jesus. Go and live it. Friends, if God's been speaking to you, don't leave today without responding in some way. And now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.